Okay, arr, matey.
You're listening to the Haunting of Bly Manor After Show by Horror Movie Talk.
The Haunting of Bly Manor After Show.
Bravo, bravo.
Thank you. On a normal episode of Horror Movie Talk, we would review and discuss one horror film in great detail. But for this episode, for this series of 10 episodes, we will be having an opinionated and accidentally funny discussion on each episode of The Haunting of Bly Manor. Your panel of expert hosts each week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and me, Professor David Day, the foremost expert in scare no-nos. So with no further ado, The Haunting of Bly Manor After Show with the Horror Movie Talk.
Oh boy.
This is a great episode.
News,
man.
Traffic, and weather at the top of the hour.
News, traffic, weather. It's 70 degrees out there in San Vicente. Okay. Yeah, we got a great episode for you guys today. This is episode 8 of The Haunting of Bly Manor. This is my favorite episode to thus far.
Yeah, it's a standout.
For a couple of different reasons. I think my favorite part about it is it's not confusing at all. It's very straightforward.
Yeah.
There's no mind fuckery. After a long series of episodes of you being like, what's really going on? This one lays it all down very plainly.
Yeah.
And it's set in the past, and it's just kind of a great story within a story.
Yeah, it's a standalone ghost story, really.
Right. So we will start out by giving a brief synopsis of the episode, and then we'll get into spoilers to take a deeper dive into what we liked about the show. So as I said, today we're going to be talking about episode number 8. Still no episode names on the copy of this that we received to watch, but I think they're going to be naming the episodes. I saw a headline about how they were going to be naming the episodes.
Oh, really?
So I think once this hits the public, I think all the episodes are going to have actual names.
This one would be the Lady in the Lake episode.
Yeah, or maybe Viola. So as to avoid the obvious naming of the Lady in the Lake.
Right.
This is an episode where we get to learn a bit about, as Bryce said, the Lady in the Lake, a.k.a. Viola or Viola. I'm not too sure.
Viola.
Oh, a little puppy at the window. A little cute little dog. So, as I said, this entire episode takes place in a time long lost to history. So this is several, maybe 100 years ago,
It was the 17th century, so.
Okay, so this is the 1600s.
Yeah.
So hundreds of years ago, compared to 1988, when we think this show took place, almost entirely takes place in the 17th century. And it's a really sad, kind of mournful show that has just really wonderful storytelling throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before we get into spoilers, we're going to take a little moment to tell you to visit our website. That's horrormovietalk.com. And from there, you can find links to all of our social media. We post normal episodes of Horror Movie Talk, where we talk about horror movies, shocker, on Wednesdays. So make sure to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple iTunes, because that helps us out a whole bunch. And you want to help us out because we're giving you free stuff. So just give us a rating. You. If you'd like to get a hold of us and tell us that you're not going to be giving us a rating, go ahead and do that by calling us at 682-253-4468 and leave us a voicemail. And if you'd really like to help us out even more than just giving us a rating, you can hop on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/horrormovietalk. So without any further ado, let's get into spoilers.
Spoilers.
Got that foghorn going. So we pick up with there's a little bit of a thing with The Haunting of Bly Manor. The episode after each episode picks up pretty much directly where the last episode left off, for the most part. And this one is no different. This one, if you recall, the way we ended episode 7 was Danny's got Flora and she's like, "Bitch, we got to get out the house." And then they're running down the gravel drive and Flora's like, "I don't know about this. I don't like the way this feels. I don't want to leave Miles." And Danny's like, "Nah, bitch, we got to go." And so she grabs her by the wrist and boom, right then, that's the point where the Lady of the Lake grabs Danny by the throat, crushing her trachea and probably causing severe damage, maybe killing her entirely in one fell swoop, although probably not. And after that, it just now it kind of cuts to black and white and our narrator takes over. This is the most narrator heavy episode of the whole lot thus far. So yeah, you did mention this is towards the middle of the 17th century. And the narrator tells us there lived a widowed gentleman and he was left in charge of his daughters. So he had lost his wife and he was left in charge of two little girls. And, you know, he died and the girls, the girls had to figure out what to do because back in, you know, back in these times wasn't like civilized society today where women could, you know,
own property
or, you know, own a business or kind of do what you want with your body. You needed a man to facilitate you know, basic day to day bullshit. You want. If you want them Kirkland trash bags from Costco, well, bitch, you don't have a membership to Costco unless you got a man in your life. Okay, so just saying. Those trash bags are...
I think back then it was called Ye Old Costco.
Ye Old with an E. Yeah, Ye Oldie. Yeah, you're probably right. So the dad died, and so the boys started coming up. Coming out out of the woodwork, showing up.
Their milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Oh man, these were beautiful young ladies, Perdita,
Perdita
and Viola.
Yeah, I finally like this is the episode where Kate, Kate Siegel,
that's
finally appears in
Flanagan's wife.
Yeah,
yeah,
because she's on the IMDb, and you're like, well, what does she play? Yeah. You know. And she's the lead in this episode.
Yeah, she's Viola.
Basically. And apparently probably the Lady in the Lake the whole time.
I'm going to say Viola, but that's an instrument. It's not her name's Viola.
I think it's just English people pronouncing it wrong.
Oh, that's probably right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they do that a lot.
Yeah.
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 The English came up with the language and we perfected it.
Exactly.
As Americans.
Exactly.
So yeah, the boys keep showing up and they're just, you know, they're just kind of, you know, I mean, they're just boys.
Well, their motive is literally to become wealthy by marrying these women.
How is she supposed to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the easy way.
What? Is there another way? I thought you married into wealth.
So they ain't got no time for any of these men because they're conniving.
Yeah.
They're only in it for... Men only want one thing.
Yeah.
Wealth.
Wealth. Lots of it. Yeah, and it's true.
Power. So they hatch a plan, genius plan. Let's fuck our cousin.
Yeah. Perdita's like, let's call up that cuz, yo. And so they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that cousin shows up. And not only is he like well-read and intelligent, but he's seemingly like kind of a cuck a little bit. Hmm. He's like not very interested in. He seems uninterested in their wealth, is the thing. He seems like someone who you can wrap around your finger and just kind of like, okay, you do the things I tell you to do, and we'll be good. And
well, I mean, it makes the point of saying like. How they present themselves to the cousin is very, very staged. And it's very intentional.
Because first he's like, hey, Perdita, how's it hanging there, young lady? And she's like...
And then Viola comes in the door with, like, windswept hair and, like, dramatic music and wind at her back. And, you know, the sun's glinting and giving her a halo.
Yeah.
And she's like... I'm the baddest bitch. And he's like...
She's like, wop, wop, wop.
And he's all like, wow, that's the baddest bitch. And he's like...
Yeah.
I would like to get up all in that, cousin.
She's like, I'm certified freak. 7 days a week. And she's like, park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage.
Yeah.
This episode's going to go off the rails.
Mm-hmm. So they... Viola got that dick.
Yeah, she got that dick and that cousin dick. And
and so they marry and like
Viola
and
her cousin.
The cousin. I can't remember what his name is.
You do. No, it doesn't barely even talk about him. It's like, yeah, this is really about Viola.
It does, but I didn't write it down.
Well, I didn't write it down.
And then goes to the wedding and like they say their vows and the priest is like, yeah, she forgot to say to obey.
Yeah,
and she's like,
she's like, and everyone's
the
like,
the priest is like,
can you say it though?
Okay,
and she's like,
okay.
No, I'm not saying that part.
Yeah.
So
it's very, very clear that she's wanting to wear the pants in this house.
And she do. Up until she gets sick.
Yeah.
And the plague doctor shows up and they're like, does she have the plague? And he's like,
good news, folks.
Good news.
Not
plague,
the plague.
It's the lung.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the fuck is the lung? And I guess that's probably tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Yeah.
The lung.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. That's what they called it back then.
Is it?
I've been watching clips from Tombstone.
From 1697.
No, from Tombstone, and they describe
Tombstone.
They keep
this is your historically accurate records.
Mm-hmm. And they
Val Kilmer. Yeah.
They keep calling him Lunger.
Okay, Lunger.
Okay, Lunger. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's
historically as historically accurate as I
that's
need.
That's such a great movie. I'll tell you. Watch Wyatt Earp and Tombstone back to back, and you tell me which is the better movie.
Which is?
Definitely Tombstone. Like, okay. Wyatt Earp is, like, probably way more accurate, and, like...
I watched Tombstone a couple years ago, because I had never seen it. Didn't strike me.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it. I think Val Kilmer's Doc Holliday is one of the most iconic characters.
Why?
Ever. Because he's just, like, such a smooth, like, sarcastic... badass.
Yeah.
He's like, the whole thing is like, everyone's afraid of him because they know that even in his worst shape, he could kill them in an instant.
He's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very low key. Yeah, I mean, his acting in that movie is phenomenal.
Right.
For sure. It's just such an early 90s movie that it was a little distracting and affected. You know, so if you didn't probably watch it as a kid or when it came out, watching it now, just have it taking it in now is a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little over the top.
Yeah.
And it's a little stylized, but it's a really enjoyable movie. I really like it.
I won't disagree with that. It's an enjoyable enough movie. So at this point, the plague lock doctor gives her the okay on the plague, but no on the lung. He's like, she got the lung, bro.
And basically gives her a couple months to live.
Yeah.
Like, definitely going to be dead in a couple months.
And so at this point, the family begins the transition of like pre-mourning, you know, mm-hmm. like kind of like pre-gaming, but it's just it's the opposite. It's like getting ready to be sad.
Yeah.
And so
they call the priest in to give the last rites, and he's like, all right, you ready to say that you're ready to die? And she's like, fuck that,
fuck you, God, I don't go. And he's like, no, you got to say I go. And she's like, I don't go, I specifically do not, D-O-N apostrophe T.
Turns out that's a pretty good tack.
Yeah.
You know?
God's like, gamesy game. And and so she lives for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's like 6 years.
She's like cranking out the tunes, just like for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, Cuz starts looking at Perdita.
Yeah.
And he's like...
And Perdita starts looking at Cuz.
Yeah, because how could you not? You know, your wife's over there and she's like... got the COVID. And...
she got the Rona.
Yeah, she got the Rona over here. And you can't, you know, play around in bed. They couldn't even share the same room. They split up their rooms.
I mean, I get it that, yeah, they couldn't share a bed because TB is catching. Like, you wouldn't want to breathe in any particles. Like, it's very much like Rona, right?
Mm.
But, I mean, can you get it from getting your dick sucked?
It's a good question.
I mean...
Can you?
Could you, you know, get on one of those plague masks?
Venereal TB?
Get one of the plague masks on and, like, get up all in that cousin, yo. Just like,
it should be mentioned that she had already had a daughter with her cuz,
right,
or aka her husband, mm-hmm. at this point. So she's like, you know, so there are big stakes for her because remember how this started out was, hey, we got to protect the family fortune here. And mm-hmm. and by when I say we're talking Viola and Perdita, mm. you know, they're like, they're in a pact.
You got to keep it in the fam.
Keep it in the fam. That's why we're marrying and having sex with our cuz. So we're committed. We're pot committed to keeping it in the fam.
Yeah.
And so at this point, you know, cuz starts dancing with Perdita just to show the kid. It's pretty innocent, actually. Uh-huh. It's like, let's have a good time. The 5-year-old wants to see how to dance. Let's show her how to dance.
Yeah, and Viola acts very badly. It's kind of the same reaction that Peter gave when he saw Rebecca, you know, lick some batter off of Owen's spoon. Like, you sucking his batter?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, but.
You getting all up in his batter? What other batter are you sucking off of Owen? And then and then Viola's like, oh, you dancing with my cousin?
Yeah, but.
How dare you?
Well, I get it, though. Don't you get
you
it?
You want to dance in bed?
Well, don't you get it, though? I mean, she's had 5 years to, like, to become fucking so angry at the life that she's right. now leading.
Right.
And then realizing, not only am I going to die and I'm going to leave my little kid behind, but my sister's probably going to get on that dick.
Yeah, I mean, it's makes it very clear that over the course of this time, like, the relationship sours between the two sisters.
Yeah.
And Viola becomes, like, very angry and rageful.
And how could you not? I mean, this is the perfect setup. Like, be deathly ill with something that forces you to be far away from people for 6 years. And, yeah, don't go sour on life. Just keep it positive, you know? Be good.
It's established throughout this episode that Viola really likes the nicer things, like really fancy gowns and jewelry and stuff. Yeah. And at some point... towards the end of her life, she asked for all those things to be gathered up, all her gowns, all her jewelry, all her, like, you know, womanly stuff, and to be put in
a
big old, trunk.
Yeah.
And she makes it very clear.
She's like, look,
whatever
hubby.
You do.
Look, cuz,
take this trunk and leave it locked until our daughter comes of age, and then she gets to have all these fancy things.
Yeah.
This is my dying wish.
Hopefully, she gets a set as nice as these, Michael. And she can fill this fucking thing out, but either way, it's hers. Like, this is our daughter's.
Boobs, boobies, tits, titties, tig old bitties, machines.
So, that is made very clear. And then Viola dies.
Well, hang on here. Before Viola dies, there is a premise that's set up, which is Viola becomes spiteful and angry. Her relationship with Perdita sours. And over the course of that time, she is violent with Perdita on a semi-regular basis. She's like slapping her and like talking down to her, mm-hmm. and like, you don't have no ambitions, do you? And Perdita's like, no, it's like not like that. But over the course of that time, enough, you know, you slap somebody in the face enough, they're gonna be like, fuck you.
Mm.
You know, so yeah. So that premise is set up of Perdita being like,
This whole episode has the best writing in the series, I think.
It does. It's great.
It's fantastic because the narrator really takes part in it, and it's really like ghost story-ish.
Yeah.
And like the narration is so great in the point at which, you know, Perdita's like, fuck you. Because she's like, there was one word that kept coming to Perdita's mind over this, you know.
Yeah. What was it?
This time. And Mesa said, you'd think it would be mercy, but it's not mercy.
Yeah.
It's enough.
That's enough.
And then it shows her just smothering Viola.
Yeah.
And murdering her, basically. Just
yeah.
Like, all right. Enough of this shit.
Yeah. She just smothers her to death. She's like, okay, look, God's going to respect your wishes, but.
And it's great.
You slap me in the face.
It's great writing because if you were to just show that, you'd be like, okay, it's a mercy.
Yeah.
Like, she just wants her transition to, you know, she doesn't want her to be any pain anymore. It's like, no, it's just like, all right, enough of this shit.
Yeah.
We're tired of waiting.
We're moving on now. And so, following Viola's death, Perdita marries her cuz, as you do. And as they're getting married in that chapel, we get to see, oh, yes, here's that tile, mm-hmm. where Viola is buried.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a callback to episode, I think, five.
Six. No, six. Four. I think it's four.
Five, four, or six. One of those episodes. Four.
It was one of yours. I think it's four.
I went
back and checked, and yeah, the grave rubbing that Flora was doing for Danny inside the chapel. Was Viola's.
Yeah.
Gravestone.
It was, yes. So so call back to episode four, and so time keeps on slipping into the future, and we got Perdita, who's like, hey, where's that fucking trunk? Like first of all, we're running out of money up in this bitch.
Right.
We gotta keep this house up.
This is where it transitions into every show about a giant manor.
Yeah.
Is the,
you have any idea how expensive it is to heat this fucking place?
The story is, we went broke and now we can't afford this giant mansion.
Yeah.
You never really...
You don't think about the upkeep.
There's very few stories of that in America, of like having a mansion and then it being too expensive to live in anymore. But that's like every manor or giant building in England is like, no one wants this fucking place because it's way too expensive to upkeep.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the story is like, of course, this guy is terrible at running his business and they basically become, I mean, not penniless, but
they can't even afford a maid.
Yeah.
That's basically penniless, Bryce.
Right. So Perdita's has the knowledge that this giant trunk of extravagant gowns and jewelry is up there that would easily be worth enough money
up,
to.
It really sets up the rock in the hard place,
right?
You know, because it's like, well, what the fuck are you gonna do? The whole point of this whole of fucking our cousin was to keep our fortune, but now we don't have a fortune. We can't keep the lights on and shit.
Yeah.
So maybe
it really sets up also Perdita's and Viola. And like everyone is an imperfect character, mm-hmm. in this episode.
Oh yeah.
Because Perdita's definitely like, well, why would you do this? Like, who's more important, my dead sister or me that's still here and suffering?
And not only that, your daughter. Like, right.
Right? Right. So the cousin, the nameless cousin that we don't remember his name, basically says, hard no. I made a promise. It's an oath. And Perdita is like,
what was that?
That's...
It's a ghost.
Disgusting. Like, why would you keep this from me?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what you gonna do? And then...
So she heads up into the attic. She opens up that trunk and she's like, hey, look at this fine dress. And then, whoa! Oh my God! Like, that dress reaches out and grabs her.
Yeah, right in the neck.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably the best jump scare in the show. Like, I watched this late at night and I was kind of like fading. And then that like jumped out and was like, holy shit. <That's> awesome. So, yeah, it's not expected in the least.
No. Yeah, that was
spooky. And then it kind of shifts gears and it shows the perspective of Viola as she's dead. And this is where like the narration shines, because it really sets up this like this loop, this endless loop for Viola, which is... She's
go to sleep.
She's asleep in this room.
Wake up.
She wakes up.
Walk around.
She walks around, then goes back to sleep. And this room is like really bleak because she can't open the door. It's locked. She looks out the window and it's just blackness.
Yeah.
Like immediate blackness in front of her face. And the mirror's there. And then she gets spooked out because she can see like herself dead.
Ugh.
She covers it. So it's this endless loop of waking up, walking around, and sitting down. And then she figures out that she's actually inside the trunk, which is kind of an interesting device.
She's tied to that trunk. And yeah, so she got to hang out with her old stuff till her sis shows up. Then she's going to choke that bitch, then leave.
Well, she's expecting.
Then leave.
She's expecting.
Get that bread, get that head, and leave. Sorry.
She's figuring it out, like, what this is, that she's in the trunk, and then she realizes, like, oh, eventually my daughter's going to open up this trunk, and I'll get to see my daughter, and
right.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It'll be worth the wait. And then the door opens, and in walks...
Perdita.
She's like...
You bitch.
Fuck you, bitch.
I remember you killing me. I remember that.
And so she immediately chokes out Perdita and kills her. Like, straight up murders her... Her sister in revenge and rage.
So then, this is very bleak for Viola, but we start to get a ray of hope for her, which is the family's going to sell the manor. They're going to get out and they're going to take the trunk with them. Mm-hmm. They're lifting up the trunk. They're going to bring it with them. Oh my gosh, we're all going to get to go, and I'm going to get to be a family with my daughter, and I'm going to get to see her grow up, and I'm out of this room finally. Mm-hmm. And this is wonderful. And then they toss the trunk into the lake because
it's haunted.
Because it's a haunted spooky trunk. What are you going to do with it?
Well, I mean, this trunk murdered my wife, so I mean, not really interested in taking it with us.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Bleak as fuck.
Yeah.
That was rough.
And then it shows Viola as a ghost being the lady in the lake, waking up at the bottom of the lake, walking out, walking into the mansion and going to her room, expecting to see her daughter and never seeing it. And it shows her like over the ages walking.
Yeah.
This round.
Every day.
And then every once in a while, just straight up myrtleizing someone.
I have to return some videotapes.
So there's several killings that were shown. And I don't know if you noticed, but in previous episodes, you catch glimpses of some of these ghosts. Like, I remember, I think it's episode one. There's a shot where, like... a head turns and it's like a beak, and it's like, that looks like a plague mask, and it's actually the plague doctor that gets myrtleized by Viola.
Yeah, that's right.
And
then there's a the man of God.
I think they call him a priest.
Are you sure about that? Did we do our research? Okay, I'm getting it. Yeah, Brendan's saying, yeah, that's accurate.
And so she takes a bunch of these people, and it's described as kind of, she is this gravity well of misery that ties all these souls to herself, and that over time she fades and she's not.
All things fade over time.
Yeah, all things fade over time, and it shows her, and it's like really cool effect of like her face slowly disappearing till she's like completely faceless, and it describes that her personality leaves too, and all that's left is this husk, and the only thing left is hate and rage and like expectation of seeing her daughter. And that's like this horrible fate that she's in. And then as she kills the other people, they're stuck in this loop with her.
Yeah, in this horrible well of sadness that is Bly Manor. It's like a hot spot for ghosts, you know? Mm. It's like the hangout.
Mm. It's a vortex.
It's
like the Oregon vortex. And then it hops back to basically the end of the last episode, which is
the start of this episode
Danny getting choked out.
Yeah.
And dragged.
So that's where this episode ends, is Danny getting fucking wrung by Viola, mm-hmm. or the lady in the lake. Yeah, so that's the end of episode 8. This was definitely one of my favorite episodes so far, mainly because it was so straightforward and because it was just a solid story within a story that now explains, oh, well, this is the real terror at Bly Manor is definitely Viola.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
it's definitely
strange women lying in ponds.
yeah, you don't stick around Bly Manor too long. So episode 8 I enjoyed a lot, and it sets up the stakes very nicely for episode 9, the last episode, because Danny's gonna get choked out. What's gonna happen? So I'm excited for the final episode. So thanks again for listening to The Haunting of Bly Manor After Show with Horror Movie Talk. We sure do appreciate you hanging out with us. Make sure to subscribe to Horror Movie Talk and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts, because that helps us out a whole bunch. The other thing that helps us out about a whole bunch is if you share it with a friend. That's free. You can do that just with a click or two. Just that's all you have to do. Or you could just say, hey, have you heard of this show, Horror Movie Talk? And they'll be like, oh yeah, I totally have, because I'm super cool and I'm in the know. And you'd be like, oh yeah, I am too. If you'd like to help out the show in a monetary way, you can do so by going to our website, horrormovietalk.com, clicking through the link at the top of the banner that says Amazon, and then everything you buy from Amazon after clicking that link, we get a little taste of that, and it adds no extra charge to your bill. Mm-hmm. It's just we get a little bit of a commission from that.
Yep.
Also, if you'd like to help us out, that same horrormovietalk.com website at the top of the page has another link that says become a patron, and if you do that, we have, you know, Patreon exclusive afterpod where we talk about our train wrecks of a life in 2020, and also, you know, we have some good times and talk about our opinions on various things. So that those are direct ways to support mm-hmm. the show.
Special thanks to a couple special people. First of all, to Dustin Goebel, our resident artist. If you want to commission artwork from him, check him out at Instagram at dgoebel00. That's at dgoebel00 on Instagram. Also, special thanks to Max, who composed the intro.
Yeah, that's maxwell.r.allen on Instagram.
And Kitty for leaving us a little
lovely angel voice.
I mean, we could have done it ourselves.
We could
with
have
the accents.
Yeah, for sure.
But we needed a woman's touch.
Right.
Is what it was.
I always need a woman's touch.
Call us at 682-253-4468 to leave us a voicemail, and we'll see you for the final episode of The Haunting at Bly Manor.
I'm so excited. Oh my god.
Run, boy! Run! Run for you!